Let's pray. Lord, what else could we say in the face of what you have done on our behalf? But thank you, God. Thank you for your son. Thank you for his cross. God, thank you that you allow us to approach you in worship. God, thank you that you have left your word with us as a guide so that we can know you. God, please open our eyes, open our hearts to your word, and let us magnify your son yet more in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a Bible, please open it to John chapter 11. We'll read verses 25 and 26. The context of this passage is that Jesus' friend Lazarus has died, and Jesus has come to Lazarus' town to raise him from the dead. When Jesus tells Lazarus' sister Martha this, Martha expresses her belief in the future resurrection of the dead. Let's read John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Not surprisingly for Jesus, he starts off with a statement that would be outrageous from the mouth of anyone but him, that he himself is the resurrection and the life. Even as Martha expresses faith in the resurrection, Jesus makes the issue himself. It's as if he's saying, "So you believe in the resurrection, Martha? Let me tell you, I am the resurrection." He then goes on to say some things that seem a bit contradictory at first glance. Let's look at what Jesus says and break it down a little bit. Jesus says, "He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus is making two conditional statements. In one case, there's a condition of belief resulting in life despite death, and in the other, there's a condition of living and believing resulting in never dying. So how can believing in Jesus result in life despite dying on one hand and result in never dying on the other? What Jesus is driving at here is that he is offering a life that transcends our physical deaths and will operate in spite of our inevitable physical deaths. Jesus is not offering some lowly human immortality of science fiction. He is offering an eternal life in a glorified body, rejoicing in his presence. But there is a condition that is common to both conditional statements. The condition is belief, and that belief must be in Jesus. Jesus is pointing out to Martha that it is not enough to assent to things that are true, but rather there must be a personal trust in the one who is himself the fountainhead of resurrection and life. When one personally trusts on the resurrection and the life himself, then this resurrection and this life will flow to that person. Trusting Jesus looks like trusting in his death for forgiveness of sins. Trusting in Jesus looks like trusting on his merits when a holy God judges you, rather than on your own merits. Trusting Jesus looks like living life the way he instructs you to, rather than whatever way seems best to you. Jesus' final question to Martha is as important to us when we hear it as it was to Martha when she heard it. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that if you believe in him, he will give you that life that he is offering here? The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5 that death came through sin, and that death spread to all men because all sinned. Lazarus' death problem here in John 11 comes from his own sin, and Jesus is about to make a powerful statement about his own authority over death by raising Lazarus up from the dead. However, unfortunately for Lazarus, he will eventually go on to die yet another death in his flesh, as indeed will we all, believer or not. John's gospel account will go on to tell us of Jesus' brutal death at the hands of the Jewish leaders and the Roman government. This mighty death purchases life for all who believe in Jesus. It purchases a place of delight in the presence of the one God who is supremely joyful at the center of heaven. We're going to take communion now to remember and proclaim this mighty death of our Lord. If you have turned your whole life over to belief in this one who is the resurrection and the life, then please join us in communion tonight. If you are holding a part of yourself back from Jesus, either not acknowledging him as Lord at all, or by holding back certain sins and not turning away from them, then we'd ask you to just let the bread and the juice pass you by tonight. There's no shame in this, and it would be far better for you to let it pass by. If you have questions about this, please come ask me after the service, or ask one of the elders, or ask the person who brought you. If you have turned yourself over in belief to Jesus, please join us by taking communion tonight. Think of your impending death, think of the sin that has led you to it, and then think of this miraculous Savior, the life he's given to you in forgiveness, and the life he's given for you, and take communion on your own tonight.